Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 16th episode of the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, lead donkey in the nativity play at the Merry Forms of My Merry Christmas, a little community of Christmas crazies who gather together to celebrate Christmas year-round. The Merry Little Podcast is a light version of our full-throated, cream-filled, bodaciously beautiful, and eternally awesome Merry Podcast, an hour-long celebration of Christmas chock full of music and merriment for Christmas fans everywhere, and oh yeah, it is exclusively for the premier members of the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas. If you want to access an hour-plus-long podcast even better than this very episode, you'll have to join the Merry Forums and, doggone it, have a Merry Christmas with us. Christmas has a long history of division. In this episode, we take you back to early times in what some would call just another chapter in the so-called War on Christmas. Many today celebrate Christmas because that's what's always been done. They go about their routines without a knowledge of where their traditions come from and why. At the center of it all is religion, a factor in life that both galvanizes and polarizes, depending upon one's own upbringing and education and frankly, relationship with God. Those dynamics have always controlled Christmas's divisions and forever fuels their debate. Over on the Merry Podcast, we have for years laid claim to the history of Christmas before Christ. We claim that Christmas was not a pagan invention, that it is not merely an extension of meaningless seasonal rituals fashioned by savages. We instead hold fast to the idea that Christmas was celebrated long before the recorded history of man. It was an anticipated and prophesied event that actually came to pass. Regardless of your take on Jesus Christ, there is no doubting his historical significance and lasting impact on world events, societies, and histories. And regardless of your particular philosophy on life, the universe, and your place in it, there is no denying the fact that you are a member of a superior species capable of expanding in knowledge, experience, technology, and wisdom that allows you to achieve, accomplish, and think at a level unknown and unseen in any other species. These are facts that cannot be denied, and Christmas is a bellwether of how we as humans relate to those truths. Christmas at its core celebrates these facts, and it celebrates the relationship man has to God, an idea that makes, for whatever reason, some people very uncomfortable. On the sacred level, Christmas extends to life beyond this life, to worlds greater than this one. On a secular level, Christmas is more about the here and now. Rarely are these two levels ever compatible, and the history of Christmas is one long chain of a tug-of-war between these two camps. Let's go back to a chapter in Christmas history that many do not acknowledge much. It is a time and an event that has had far-reaching impact on the way Christmas even today is celebrated. By the year 1200, it had been more than a millennia since the life of Christ. All who were alive during his ministry were long dead. The only witnesses of his life and miracles and mission were scraps of written scripture and legends passed from one generation to the next. Christmas was celebrated, but only really as taught by dictators and kings and churches and governments. Little was known then, even why it was celebrated. The year 1200 was a time when knowledge and education, at least for the masses, was obtained not through books and universities and professors. It was obtained in families, through churches and synagogues and mosques, and also by a hand-to-mouth existence, fueled by stories and traditions, legends, and histories passed down from one generation to the next. One of the more popular methods of teaching Christmas came from the ancient art of music and song. We tend to think of Christmas music in terms of carols, at least for the ancient stuff, but many don't know that a carol is not only a song but also a dance, a kind of staged musical to tell a story or to teach a principle. A great example of one of the oldest, if not the oldest of all Christmas-related songs is this one, that historians think dates back beyond the 8th century. When Christmas came around, people clung to their traditions for tradition's sake alone. Most, of course, were uneducated. They couldn't read because there were no books. If they wanted to know and understand the spiritual side of their traditions, they had to go to a church and talk to a priest. And going to a church then meant hearing things in a language that was not their own, much like the song that we just heard. This changed to a great degree due to a man who would later come to be known as Saint Francis. Francis was a priest who had access to scripture and loved the story of the Christ child in particular. This likely came from a journey he had taken to war-torn Jerusalem. Francis had gone there in hopes of preaching to the Muslims, and when he was with the crusade army in Damietta, he was able to speak to the Sultan of Egypt, Malik al-Kamil. Though Francis did not succeed in converting the Sultan, according to some early sources, al-Kamil did give him a precious gift, so they parted as friends. Like many Christians, Francis, who was a monk of an order that lived in poverty, desired to go to Jerusalem and take in the sights of the Holy Land to see the Church of the Nativity and the place where Christ was supposedly born. But the poverty that he and his friars were sworn to would have forbidden it, because from the time the Muslims had captured Jerusalem in 1187, they had demanded tribute money from Christian pilgrims to visit these holy places. And on top of that, the Pope had forbidden the payment of this tribute, considering it an outrage for Christians to contribute to the coffers of the infidels at a time when the whole Christian world was at war with them. Francis was able to get around all of this thanks to his friendship with Malik al-Kamil, who influenced things for him and his priests so that they could gain access to those Christian holy sites. But when he got there, he saw that Malik al-Kamil's brother, the ruler of Syria, had indeed conquered in Jerusalem, and he very nearly razed it to the ground. The walls of the city were destroyed, and most of the Christian sites in Jerusalem were found then in rubble. The nearby town of Bethlehem had also suffered destruction from the war, but the Church of the Nativity was still intact. The Crusaders had carried out restorations and added a great deal of sumptuous decoration to an already existing basilica, including gorgeous mosaics and paintings in the upper church and the Grotto of the Nativity. Little of the poverty of the original cave was still visible in the grotto where Jesus was supposedly born. This scene, a contrasting and combined vision of desolation from war on one side and the magnificence of restoration on the other, is what Francis would have meditated on in contemplating Jesus' birth in poverty. You have to wonder how that influenced his future actions in attempting to teach the Nativity to the masses, the thousands of people that he would influence in the years to come. He petitioned for and received permission from the Pope in Rome to conduct what would later be known as a nativity play in a cave in a remote village in Italy. There he reenacted the nativity story with live animals and people representing Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and of course, this was all done with music. It proved to be a very popular event, and a tradition was born of doing the very same thing every Christmas. The event was duplicated soon all over Europe, and from there, it even became an influence in pop culture. Here is a modern rendition of a song that dates from this period in Christmas history, back in 1200, and it shows how music was used to teach.
Jesus, our brother, kind and good, was humbly born in a stable rude, and friendly beasts around him stood. Jesus, our brother, kind and good.
I said the donkey, all shaggy and brown, I carried his mother uphill and down. I carried her safely to Bethlehem town. I said the donkey, shaggy and brown.
That song, short on doctrinal accuracy and long on legend, nevertheless gives context to the season, to traditions replayed but never quite understood before. All of this, however, is only telling one side of the Christmas story. What was true then is true now. There were those who celebrated Christmas in a different way. It is another side. Some would call it even a darker side to Christmas celebration. Historians mistakenly call this the pagan equation in the Christmas puzzle. I call that a mistake because most pagans, meaning those who were not Christian or Jewish or Muslim during the Dark Ages, they were not godless. They were, by and large, and in fact, very spiritual people. Pagan, as we know that term today, is a gross term that more or less means unchristian or even godless. Thrown into that very broad label are humans who are guilty only of being human. There is little or no belief in God because there is no education in spiritual things among them. In fact, there is little education in much of anything. These are the commoners in every society, the working class in most cases, and the masses, that sea of humanity that just exists. Seasonal celebrations of every type, not just winter, but also summer solstice, and times between sowing and harvesting back in those days were times to cut loose, to take off, to escape the realities of their hard existence. And little has changed in the human condition in this regard. People today are as people were then. They turn to drink or alternative substances that give them temporary escape. They made merry, as it was called, because a moment of time took them away from their obligations, and they would not waste it. There is nothing wrong with this, except when taken to excess and the behaviors of some begin to impact that season for all. World history is filled with the riotous celebrations of secular events. The Jews saw it while Moses was on Mount Sinai. Jesus, of course, witnessed it in Jerusalem. Rome was famous and is still celebrated today for their gluttony. And, of course, those sordid English kings of old were famous for their raucous parties. This kind of Christmas celebration is as old as Christmas, too. It has, at times, even caused the religious to ask why Christmas is celebrated at all. That was at least one of the core arguments of our Puritan forefathers who famously escaped England and came to the New World determined to do it their way. So paranoid were they of division in Christmas celebration that they supposedly banned it. At least that's what the historians want you to believe. But the Puritans did not ban Christmas at Plymouth Colony. They banned what they considered the inappropriate behaviors exhibited by some of that day, behaviors they felt were out of harmony with sacred teaching, and they fined people for it. But they still sang their songs, they still held their nativity plays, and attended their church meetings. As history marched on and the tug-of-war between sacred and secular continued, the music continued to flow. Oddly enough, for as traditional as music and song was both in celebration and communication, and for as much as pagan influences are tied over and over again by historians to Christmas, I can't find one, not a single, ancient pagan carol or song that tells the story of celebration of anything pagan, or even anything tied to the so-called winter solstice festival that so many say bear the marks of Christmas. Do you find that odd? I'm not saying such songs or carols don't exist. I'm just wondering how we have all these ancient Christmas carols and sacred songs that have survived, but nothing really pagan has survived for 200, 300, 400, 500 years. Like it has for Christmas carols. Again, I'm not saying they aren't out there, I'm just saying I can't find one. In fact, as time passes and I study ancient Christmas history more and more, I'm slowly losing my patience with the whole argument that paganism ever had anything to do with Christmas at all. Are there shared elements? Well, in my mind, they are becoming fewer and fewer. In an upcoming episode right here on the Merry Little Podcast, we're going to explore the modern use of ancient music tied to Christmas and the never-ending fight we are seeing in our day to silence it. For all of us at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.